How many would like to have your children know how to respond good to difficult situations? Okay. Your child is playing on the floor, and you ask your child, say, it's time now to go to bed. What do you expect? Your child to go to bed. Now, in order for your child to go to bed, what must your child do? Okay? What must the child do? 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 Submit. In order to submit, that's right, but what must the child do? The child must humble themselves. I'm asking the child to do something. I'm asking them to humble themselves. When my wife asks me to do something, I don't like it. Necessarily. And I'm asking my child to do it. And I'm asking the child to quit their program and to do my program. And to do that, you have to humble yourself. Right? And I'm expecting to do that. Now, the Bible says that's good. And the Bible says for me, up front here, I can talk to you right up here really good. I'll be right on top of it. I'm saving it for you. Okay. So now I'm asking the child to humble himself. Now when I do that, I'm asking the child to obey. Now God says to do that. Now generally we don't understand what's going on. Now 1 Peter 5:5-6 says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all ye be subject one to another, and be clothed with. So I'm asking my child to be clothed with humility. For God says, what does God say in the rest of that verse? Now, for God giveth grace to the humble. My child's walking upstairs. And while my child's walking upstairs, what has God just given my child? True? False. True? False. Law of gravity. It works for the Christian and non-Christian. Both. Both. Child's walking upstairs. God gives grace to the humble. My child walks upstairs. Comes down in the morning and has one bucket of grace. What other children don't have, they haven't been taught to be obedient. Now, whether the parent knows it or not, it's true. Knowing it doesn't make it true. It's true because it's true. So now, if I know truth and know how to operate with truth, I can end up better in truth. Welcome. This is good. Okay. So now, the next day, I do the same thing. And my child is obedient again. And walks up the stairs and goes to bed, gets another bucket of grace. Now my child goes to school and we're in a foreign country and the teachers are giving my children a hard time. And my children get a very hard time. And when that teacher gives my child a hard time, my child pours a bucket of grace on that teacher. Because my child has grace. Because God gave it grace. Because my child is obedient. Because he gives grace to the humble. And my child doesn't even have to understand it. But I can understand it. And I don't have to understand it either. But if I do understand it, it helps me be motivated. Right? Now as I do that, I wonder why some children are just sweet and kind and loving. And they're just loaded with grace while others can't spell. You see? And it's wonderful, isn't it? And I can do that. And I can know what's happening. You see? And my child is obeying. It's just turning buckets of grace around. See? And when my last child graduated from school there in Australia, the principal came and said, do you have any more? That's right. Isn't that neat? Yeah. It wasn't that they didn't get spit on, because they did. One thing they didn't get knives in their sides, because they did. But they were obedient, and they had grace. Now that is a principle, see? Now when you have that working, and a parent learns that, and a parent knows it works, and it watches it work, they won't walk out the back door. Right?
Amen.
Now that's worth the conference for you, that right there. If you understand that and you use that, it's worth the conference. Now, you came in just perfect timing so you can look around here and get somebody to get what I just gave. Okay. Now, generally, something like this, I'd say, would you like to get up and now give what I gave? I'd see if I know them a little bit better. And so that way, then we see if we're getting it. Because I never know unless I ask if someone got it. But if I ask them and get up and give it, we find out if they got it. Because they go, but would you do that one more time, please? And I say, I will listen this time. And they say, okay. And then we go again. And then the next time, everybody's listening because they don't know if I'm going to call on them or not. But I won't do that to you. Okay. Now, what I've done, what we're going to do, when you're learning, you want to learn how somebody does something when he's doing it. So you learn not only what he does, but how he does it. Because you know how he does it, then you can do it. If you don't learn how he does it, then you don't know. Right? Would you help pass those out? Now, what you're getting is the first sheet. Because if I gave you the second sheet, you'd be reading it while I'm talking about the first sheet. And I'm not going to let you do it. Right? Because the key to teaching something, if you're going to be a teacher, a little Bible study teacher, you must master the subject to be taught. If you don't know what you're teaching, then you can't teach what you don't know. That's simple, isn't it? If I want to learn Russian, I go to somebody that speaks Russian to learn Russian. Right? So the law is to learn it. Now, the second one is to have their attention. So I can't teach you without your attention. If I don't have your attention, I can't teach you. So I give you the one sheet, and I have a hope of getting your attention. Right? Okay. Now, the first verse we shared in here was James what? 1:22. Put it on the sheet. James 1:22. And what was the fear in James 1:22? Now, what was my fear in James 1:22? You came in late. Okay, you're okay. James 1:22. You know 1:22?
Yep.
Oh, good! What does it say? Okay, now I'm going to ask you to think. Thinking is overcoming resistance through space. Okay? That's work. That's the definition of work, you know. You need to take the urge to do that. Okay. Now, what we're going to do is ask you, what is the fear of that verse for you? And why would you be deceived? No, the verse doesn't say thinking is adequate. What does the verse say? It's a mirror. Okay, no, they're going. Okay, that's good. So then, what's the fear there? You're right. And then what do you do to yourself if you do that? Who deludes who? Yeah, that's me deluding me, isn't it? I can't blame my teacher, right? Okay, but I delude myself if I hear and don't do it. So my greatest fear, I come to one of these conferences and I say, woe is me, I am undone. The people are teaching more and I'm trying to apply what I already know. And the guy's telling me something new already. And I say, time out! See, I say time out because the guy's telling me something else and I haven't had a time to apply what I've already heard. And I'm going to walk around this ground just deceived as a goose. Is that verse true? Verse true? Verse is true. So now, if I'm going to teach a Bible study and you're here for a dynamic Bible study, what would be a key thing for a dynamic Bible study? Now, I can be committed to obedience and not obey, right? Yeah. I live in the guy's home teaching how to love my wife, and he asked me to go down and buy roses. And I said, that's not in my budget. He said, I'm not asking you about your budget. I'm asking you to buy roses. Quit eating, suffer, do whatever, get roses. See, and I needed to learn to love my wife. I could talk about it. I could quote Ephesians 5. I mean, I had that memorized. Husbands, love your wives. I mean, I had the verse. But someone was helping me do it. Now, the key in this dynamic Bible study is I'm going to help somebody what? Do it. Had four doctors in the Bible study and their wives. My wife shared her Bible study and the doctor said to her, would you repeat that? And she just shared how she was going to do, according to the Bible study, something nice in the kitchen as an application. And he said, could I write that down? And he said, would you mind if I did your application, please? And he came to me to study because he was going over there to be a disciple maker. And he hadn't figured out how to make an application. Okay? Now, if we even come close to this in this workshop, it'll be a miracle. But we're going to try. Okay? I mean, this is one of the biggest things that goes way out there. So that's going to make it dynamic. See, people come back from Promise Keepers, and you know what? Their wives like it. Have you ever heard of that? Do you know why? They come home and say, I love you. He says, what? They say, I love you. Now, he may not be loving her, he's just saying it, but at least got that far. And he said, I love you. See, you know, and she thinks it's so nice, she says, go again. You know? Isn't that right? I mean, it's right. Because he had an application. And it wasn't all that hard. You know? Now, if you went to Jack Mayhall's, I bet he said, give her a compliment. Did he? Yeah, give her a compliment. I mean, that's every day. Oh. I had an application one. I was going to think about the Lord's coming. So every time I shaved and I had the window outside. And I shaved looking out the window, looking for him to come every morning. That was my application. See, it was an application. I was doing something. I was looking for Jesus to come. Serious. No, but it's an application. I was thinking about it. He's doing something. Okay? So that's going to be it. Okay. So we're going to... That's the idea. I mean, you can do all kinds of things. Okay, some people came in here new. Would you make sure the new ones got one of those? Just go back there. Would you make sure everybody else gets one of those? Okay? Now what we're going to do... Thank you. That was a cute little worm, isn't it? I had my wife do that. She did some different kinds. See, she did that one, the dynamics of a Bible study. And she did that one, the dynamics of the computer. She did that one, that one cost 45 cents a piece, and I thought, not worth it. You know? So you follow what I mean? Yeah. Okay. Okay. Dynamics of a Bible study. Okay, Ezra prepared his heart. Is everyone getting one of these? Ezra prepared his heart. Okay? Now what you're going to do is you're going to move your groups, your chairs around into groups four. Get in groups of four. Groups of four. I went to a place one time and they had a meeting on yeah. Okay, hold it. Didn't give you a chance to talk. Just get in groups of four. Didn't give a chance to talk yet. I mean, we fellowship all the time. So I went to this place, you know, and they had a Bible deal. Groups of four. You got six. How many we got? Four, 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 two. Three. No, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3. It's just five there, isn't it? Well, five is okay. Okay, that's all right. 1, 2, 3, 4. I mean, we don't have too many. Oh. That's okay. That's all right. Look at that. See, that tells you a lot, doesn't it? Okay, there's another one. I'll tell you more. Okay, now, these groups, they were doing a deal on evangelism. You know what I mean? This group got together and they were going to study evangelism. They just didn't do it. We're saying Bible says we're going to do it. Okay, in your group, number around, 1, 2, 3, 4. Do it. Can you find out who's the leader on that one, didn't you? Isn't that good? I mean, that's what's good about fellowship, you know? I mean, it gets really good. Now, if you have 5, you can go to 5. Okay, right now, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to teach number 1 to lead this thing. So number 1 is the leader. The rest of you are followers now, okay? Okay? Number 1 is the leader, okay? So number 1, right now, you're leading this thing, and what you're going to do is appoint somebody in your group to read the verse at the top of the page, and then you're going to ask them to do it, and everybody's going to listen. Okay, so let's do that. Got it. Okay. So now the first thing we've done in this Bible study, we've gotten together and we've gotten in a group and we've read a verse. And what we did is, the leader didn't read it. We had somebody else read it. So somebody else already is very important in the group. The leader, the only thing the leader's done now is he appointed someone to read. He hasn't said anything else but that. Now, the leader picked somebody and he picked somebody else. Now, leader picked somebody else and said, now, would you pray for us? So we're going to do that right now. Leader picked somebody else in the group and asked them to pray. Now, this is a short prayer. That's good. First time I was in a group and somebody asked me to pray, I'd never prayed in a group in my life, and I just started to cry, and I started to pray. I said, what do I pray? I knew my dad wasn't a Christian. I didn't know what to pray. So I prayed for my dad to become a Christian. I knew my brother wasn't a Christian. I started to pray for my brother to be a Christian. I started to cry, and I just shut up. So you might experience that, but it'll be okay. You know? You get along. They love me, and I was okay. Okay, next one in this group. Leader, pick somebody, and you're going to ask them to tell you that verse in their own words, and everybody else in the group is going to write it down. So the leader picks somebody else. Now, don't pick the person you had pray, or don't pick the person you had read it. So you pick somebody else. Okay? And you have them. And now, hold it. Now, let me have your attention. Just a minute. Let me have your attention. Hold it. Must have your attention. Now, the key to this is now, everybody else is writing down what this person says. Right, wrong, or indifferent. Nobody argues about it. If he goes off in the woozy land, smile and write. And you write what he says, even if he didn't, if it's another verse. Okay? You got that? And be happy about it. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, everybody else writes what he says. And he does too.
That's whatever you said was right. That's right. Could be, not necessarily, but it could be. Normally, you'd get to know each other's name, rate, and horsepower. Right. Yeah, it's a very good question. Right. See, and you'd ask them where they're from, and you might have a cup of coffee first, or you do some things, and you get to know each other a little bit, because this comes on maybe a little heavy for somebody who's never done something like this. But it isn't so heavy because, you know, the person the first time is getting recognized maybe in his life. Because in his life, he has never been recognized as what he said means anything. Not necessarily. And now, everybody's writing down what he says. Right, wrong, or indifferent. He's pretty important. You see? And this is good. Now you could, I mean, we don't have to argue what he said. What he said is said. And we all write it down. Okay? and he's been corrected. If I have someone come to my Bible study group and he's a professional, I ask him to be quiet. So he comes to my Bible study on one condition, you won't say anything. He said, not anything? I said, not anything. Even they're wrong? I said, especially if they're wrong. If they're right, you can say something confident. If they're wrong, you don't want to say anything about what? Because, I mean, they've been corrected by the wife and the children and everybody else, and now they're coming in here and get corrected again, they'll go out the back door. We don't, I mean, this is good. Now, this next one, the leader, number one leader is listening. Let's see if you don't have to listen, because he's going to give you instructions. The leader's out of line, listen. Now, what you're going to do is you're going to ask them to write down in the application what it means to them and what they'll do about it. Don't elaborate on it, and don't expect anything very good. Okay? But have them write down what it means to them and what they're going to do about it. Now, while you're writing, you can listen to me and be thinking what you're writing about at the same time you're listening to me. And I was teaching typing. I would give the students, while they were taping a typing test, their assignment while they were taking their typing test. So they're typing at the same time I'm listening to them, because you can do two things at once. Okay? So you keep writing and you listen to me at the same time. And so you write your thing down there. And this doesn't hurt you. You learn to do this, and you just increase your capacity to do more than one thing at once. And you can do it. I mean, it's just no problem. Okay? Now, the person that's leading this does not want to write his doctorate dissertation on this one. But the idea is to keep it simple. So you keep it very, very, very simple. The leader, number one, the leader, whoever's leading this, has this application so simple that it's either one or two lines. So that if the guy, anybody that's in this group that just writes half a line, you just feel okay about it. Okay? So you don't want anybody to feel like they didn't do well. You want everybody to do well, because if you wrote anything, you did well. So this is maybe the first time you ever wrote anything out of the Bible. So we want him to be happy about it. Now, we don't tell him what he said was right, because it may not be, but we don't hammer him for not being right. Okay? While you're talking, I saw this little girl came home from school, and she said, "Mommy, I won the race at school." And the mommy says, "Wonderful, wonderful." And she said, and I had an advantage. And the little girl had a crippled leg. And mommy says, "You had an advantage? Did they give you a head start?" And she said, "No, I had to try harder." So, in these studies, we all have an advantage. We need to try harder, okay? Okay, now, number one says to the group, "Those of you that would like to may read your application. If it's personal, so that it's too personal to read, you don't need to read it. But if you'd like to, we'll give a few minutes to read." Okay? So you do that now. Excuse me, question? Yes? You know, the leader asks anybody to read that wants to. Yeah. No. Okay? So you do that now. Okay, time out. Stop. Everybody quiet. The hardest thing in the world to do. Quiet. Okay. Now, while we do this, the key is the person who reads what's on his paper, if he wants to elaborate and talk about it, okay, nobody else talk. The best you can. Now, the leader for sure doesn't. The rest might get into the act. Okay? Because you're just so, you want to talk. See, what do you want to do? Okay. Now, around your table there's another piece. So we're into lesson two. And that's lesson one, okay? Lesson two, you're studying another Bible study. If you pick up beside you there on the floor, there's a Bible study. You hand that out. Okay? Now, if we're going right, number two is the leader. Got a new leader. Okay? But now what I want you to do, I want number ones to all get into a new group. Want one more? Okay. Number ones get into a different group. Number ones get a different group. But I'd hate to have a number two lead somebody that just led them. Okay, number ones get into a different group. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Now, yeah, yeah. Okay, very good. Now, number twos didn't move. Oh, you're looking for a one spot. Hey, hold it, hold it. Hold the phone. Hold it. We need a couple ones. Over right here. You were in this one? Okay, another one. You get over. Very good. I mean, see, you're a genius. You figured out if you could go over there and it wouldn't hurt a thing, and you could go over here. See? Oh, that is good. Oh, man. All right, now, hold it. Now, what I want you to do, do you think that this would be asking too much of you now to ask the number two to just lead through this without my help? Okay? You follow what I'm saying? Now, what number two have to do now, he picks out somebody else to read it. He picks someone else different to pray. He picks someone else to write it in their own words, and everybody writes. He has to help him do that. And then he asks, you got it? Okay, go for your life. Attention time. Attention time. How many have children? How many would like to have your children have a fantastic self-image? Look at this verse. He that refuses discipline despises himself. If I'm walking late into meetings, if I'm not getting up in the morning, if I'm not eating what is on my plate when I should, if I'm not taking care of myself physically, if I'm not learning to do what I should do, I'm not disciplining myself. And when I don't discipline myself, what does the Lord say I do? I despise myself. So if I want my children to have a good self-image, then I teach them discipline. I teach them to be a disciplined person. I teach them to happily receive discipline and happily respond to discipline. Now, if a husband and wife haven't learned how to discipline each other, good luck. He's a daddy in his fellowship that teaches his son to do what the Bible says. His son knows. But he is his follower's way. Right? So if I am going to teach my children to discipline their lives, unless I'm going to be a hypocrite, unless I want to drive my children far, far away, then I better do what? I better discipline, and I better receive discipline from my wife and from the people that come into my home and where I am. If I'm not willing to do that, then I will be deceived, and I'll say, Proverbs 22:6 isn't true. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, and not depart from it. I say, that's not true. Don't lay that on me. I believe that the borrower is servant to the lender. I'll accept that one. But I won't accept this one. And I'll say, just teach him in the way that he's been. But I won't say, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, and not depart from it. I say, oh, that's too heavy. Don't put that on me. That's not what the Bible says. Now, when someone says that to me, and they say, I brought up my children, and they didn't walk in the way, I walk over to their home and I say, show me your lesson plans. Because I taught chemistry, and I didn't teach chemistry without a lesson plan. How can a person, a parent, teach their children without a lesson plan? Right? And I'd spend 2 hours preparing to teach my children 15 minutes. We had fun! And other people wanted to join us. Because it was fun. And it's worth it. See, it's worth it. You know? And you're on your deathbed looking up and you wonder what your children are going to say when they walk past your casket. Don't wait that long. No. Because it's not worth it. Okay? You guys are doing okay. Here you go. And you need one more of those. I'm strapped up here. Would you take some of those and give them out there? And lock me up. Here we get three of those. And one of those. I figure out how much time you're worth. Your people's time is probably worth $10 to $30 an hour. Depending on what kind of job you have, where you are. And I'm asking you to sit in here for that long, so I multiply how much that's worth, how much I'm taking of your time. And if I don't prepare for that and give you money for the time you've seen, Because I'm asking you that when you come here. So it was worth it. So this is just a little bit giving you a booklet. Now this booklet is 30 discipleship exercises. This gives you some information on how to do it and what to do, but it will turn to page number 12. On page number 12, if you look over to the left, it talks about salvation, and there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 verses on salvation. That in the gray is for the master's program. So we're not going to do that. That's the second degree. You have to graduate from, you know, first. So we're just going to do salvation one. And what we're going to do is with the leader now. Leader two, move to a new group. And try to move to a group that you weren't in before. Okay? It's going to get harder and harder. Three now is going to lead this one, and what we're going to do is we're going to start over here, and number three is going to say, okay, on page 12, each person now going around is going to read a verse. See, that's what they're doing. Then we'll go over here, and you ask them, now this is a new deal. This is a whole new deal. So you ask someone, the leader, number three leader, ask someone in the group, you say, Fred, or one of the guys, pick one of those verses that you like. Okay? Now this person gets to pick a verse. It's like picking jelly beans, you know. You pick like the black ones or whatever, you get to pick a verse. You know, this is the first time maybe in their life they got to pick a verse. See? And it's quite a deal. See, so they get to pick a verse, and then everybody writes the verse reference over the top. And the verse they pick, you study. So each of your groups, you might be studying different verses, and that's okay. Okay? Now, the leader says, to someone, you know, Bill, would you pick a key word? And so Bill looks over and he picks a word. He says, fellowship. So everybody writes down what Bill picks. Bill's very important now. And you put fellowship down. And so you write fellowship, and then you say, Nick, would you give a definition of fellowship? And so he gives the definition of fellowship, having coffee together. And so you write that down. No matter what it is, you write it down. And then you say to another one, pick another key word out of that verse. And so another one picks a key word. Then you ask somebody else, would you give a definition of that word? And everybody writes down his definition of that word. See? Now everybody's getting so important, they can't hardly stand it. They're going to go home and say, honey, look what I did. You know, I gave a definition and everybody wrote it down. See, and nobody's complaining about anything. Okay, then, what does the verse say? So you pick someone to say what the verse says, and everybody writes what he says. Okay? Then, on the bottom, you say, how can I apply this truth to the verse to my life? Now, this is getting a little bit more personal. Now, everybody, the leader has everybody do this one personally. Think you can do that? Okay, number three, go for your life.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That is. You eat good. You eat good. Did you get finished here? Okay, now we're going to move our chairs around again so we can all face this way and look this way again a little bit. Now, so you should have indigestion because you've done three studies. You see? Now, what we've done is we've done three studies, and what you want to do is with someone is you do one, okay? So we've gone the third mile on this deal. See, so what you're going to do is one. Now there are a lot of things that we haven't done that you would do. I mean, when you normally meet with a group like this, you get together and get your name, rate, and horsepower, who you are, what you do, and why you don't do what you do, and what you wish you would do, and you'd share who you're married to, and how many children you have, and where they're from, and like that. But you know, and you might have even had coffee beforehand or coffee afterwards or something. But now we want to keep this, the time of the Bible study, if you're starting with a new babe, you want to keep it short. You see? Keep it short. You can do this in, 15 minutes. You see, if you get after it. That's pretty good, isn't it? So you can have coffee, you meet someone, you know, at McDonald's. We have sometimes what we call McChurch. And we meet there. Some people don't buy it, but that's what it is. And you go there and you meet there and you have a little fellowship. You see? And you meet and you do a little study. And as you do that, it's kind of nice. And people around the way, they come over and this dear little lady comes over and she said, she didn't say hi to me this morning. And I said, well, I'm sorry, lady. So we go over and when we come into McDonald's, we say hi to the different people. And then we go over and sit down and study. Isn't that neat? Oh, it's fun. Then someone wants to come over and sit closer, they can hear it. You know, and that's okay. But whatever you do in your study, if you do it in your car, if you do it in the office, if you do it, you know, in your church basement, you know, if you wherever you do it, you do it, but keep it small and short. And keep the group small. Wasn't it kind of fun to everybody in the group got going? See? And the leader, then, you have to be very careful. The leader doesn't say much. You know, I'm driving with this dear pastor in this town, and we're driving through the town. He had me speaking at his church, and I asked him as we went by this church. We were going from the motel wherever I was staying to go to the church, and we went past this church. And I said, Pastor, I said, when did you last take up an offering for this church? He said, what? I said, it's in the town here, and we're all, you know. He said, no. I said, we navigate here all the time. Everybody we work with takes our offering for some church, don't we? I think we do. Yeah, I mean, it was a new thought, kind of. Now, the reason there's one on this corner and one on that corner, somebody in the Bible study didn't just be satisfied with what someone said. And they had a division. And they said, okay, you go your way and I'll go my way. And they got one there and one there. You don't want to do that. Someone says something, fine. Well, I mean, the key is, does he love his wife and love his kids? You know, and make some application, and, you know. When does the Lord... Proverbs 14:21. Anybody have that? He that what hath my... Yep. John, that's on... John, excuse me. See, we're together. You guys are out of it. Okay, go ahead. We'll do it again. John 14:21. He who has my...
whoever loves me will be loved by my Father.
According to this verse, what am I supposed to do in this verse? Obey. According to this verse, what does that show my relationship with God? What?
Love.
Okay, according to this verse, what does God do? It's okay. No, I'm quoted again. Quoted again. Out loud, so everybody hears.
Whoever has my commands and obeys me is the one who loves me. And whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and reveal myself to him.
God loves and reveals himself to us.
Okay. What will God do to him, to me then? That's right. God will do what?
He will love us and reveal himself to us.
So if the person makes an application, according to this verse, God will reveal himself to him, right? Not my theory, not my doctrine, not my... I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to win an argument. Just help him make an application. See? Now, I'm working with a fella, and I want him to love his wife. And that's kind of a monumentous step for this guy. So I don't tackle that one. So I tell him something else. I say, hey, why don't we, you and I, get together and scoop the neighbor's sidewalk. See, I've got a widow over here, and she's got snow on her sidewalk, and we'll come over and scoop sidewalk, and we'll love the widows. As we're scooping the sidewalk, what does God promise, according to that verse, to do to that guy? Reveal himself to him. Do I believe that? I'd be getting a lot of people doing more obedience that way, wouldn't I, if I believed it? Because I've been trying to get the guy to think, love your wife, love your wife. Now we're scooping the snow, and God's going to show him, love your wife. I don't have to say anything, just pray and scoop. Isn't that great? So I pick on something that we can do, that he will do, and God's faithful to do what he says he will do. And he reveals himself. You know, just kind of sneaking up on him, isn't it? It's okay. It's not deceiving, because we're operating in obedience to the Word of God. And it's applying the Scriptures. You think you understand that one? Boy, if you understand that, man, that can change a whole ministry, can't it? Oh, my. So I don't mean the guy says, you know, he believes this or he believes that, and you know, don't give it a worry. If he obeys. Now, John 7:17. Does anyone have that one? If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, the truth. He'll know the teaching. If any man will do his will, he shall know the teaching. So if I'm obedient, according to this verse, what will I do? I'll know the doctrine. So if you disagree on me, I'm obedient, I'm obedient, yeah, then you must not be.
That's not fair.
You follow that? But see, now, if I obey... So the key is obedience, isn't it? And it's not a legalistic thing. Yes?
What if someone, for whatever reason, makes a wrong answer, they confess to be obedient to a wrong direction?
Yeah, yeah. And that will happen. That will happen. And then I'll laugh with him and tell him how I did the same thing. What? Oh, well... No, not necessarily, because I don't have a verse that says he'll do that. I don't have a verse that says he'll do that. But see, if the person really is trying, if the person really, because I did that. I was on the mission field doing that, making wrong applications seriously. See, so I was doing that. See, and my wife loved me enough that in Romans 2:4, the goodness of God led me to repentance. She pulled that 1 Peter 3 deal on me. You know, I was a hurting dude. You understand what I'm talking? You know, 1 Peter 3, wives obey, and if your husband does not obey, they'll get convicted by your obedience to your wives, and then they'll get the picture. You follow me? So is there around you watching you be obedient, they'll get it. So the key is not you making sure they're being obedient, really, as far as doing did. See, God shows them. In each one of these places, you always put down what God showed you, not what your leader said, right? That's very important. See? Now, we have a system that the guy sits there and tries to figure out what the leader wants. And we just train people that way. See, and the guy says, in this group, someone say, well, what was what I wrote pretty good? See? Sure it was good. You wrote it. You know? Isn't that right? I mean, sure it was good. You know? Now, you don't say it was right. But thoughts disentangle themselves in passing through the lips and over the fingertips. You know, you think it here, and it comes out here. You know, something has to happen. Isn't that neat? Now, did that help you at all? I don't know if that helps you at all. You don't want to lead them out in the garden path. Now, it's depending on your relationship with them how much you can communicate. So you go far to build a relationship. So if I'd seen someone doing that, and I wanted to help them, I'd say, well, hey, could you and your wife come over for supper? We'd come over and supper and, you know, have some fun. You know, do something that they like to do and have a ball and build a relationship. You see? And I built a relationship enough so that I could eyeball him sometime and talk to him about it without he felt that I was going over my bridge of relationship. So I build the relationship. See? Now, what we don't have enough time in our lives to do is build the relationships. We want to jump right in there, and so it takes time to build a relationship. So I go relationship, relationship, relationship. Buy the coffee, yes.
So would you kind of get away from the Bible study while you're building a relationship?
Oh yeah, the Bible study is separate from that. Yeah, we go out to a ball game. We go, before Lincoln, we go to Kansas City to see the Royals play or something, and we drive down there and we drive back, and I pay for the deal.
Could I get your Bible study?
That's right. That's good. When I was teaching mathematics, I had that in my class. I had 34 in the class, and half of them wanted to study and half of them didn't. And that's the way it was. And they knew it, and I knew it. So I said, half of you that don't want to study, get over here. And half of you that do want to study, get over here. So that's what I said. And so they did. They split her up. Half of them got over here, didn't want to study. And half of them got over here that did want to study. Now I said, I'm just having this law in this class. That you over here that don't want to study, you sit here and be quiet while the ones that do want to study, we're going to study. So we'd study with them first, because then I could give them something to work on afterwards, and they would work. And then I'd go over these that didn't want to study, and then we'd babysit. And that's what we did. Now, that solved it for them. And halfway through over here, one of these guys says, hey, Mr. Soderholm, I'd like to be over on that side. And I said, well, next year. because you made the choice. And next year you can get over on the other side. Now, in our Christianity, we're so wishy-washy Charlie Brown, we wouldn't even shoot a duck out of the sky if we wanted to. See, I mean, we just wishy-washy Charlie Brown, generally speaking. See, because we don't want to call a spade a spade. So I want everybody to be happy, and I want everybody to think they're getting someplace, and no one wants to sacrifice. So I graciously work at it, see? I graciously work at it. Now, my mathematics classes, we had them going, so they were doing, by the time the year was halfway through, they would be doing a test before the bell rang, and I had test and the grades recorded and the roll taken before the tardy bell and that ring. And then they would be doing 20 pages sometimes in the class period of work. And their minds would just be going, and we crank it through, see, and they just loved it. But we worked at it getting there, see. Okay? So you have to figure it out. And that's hard, see, because you cannot have someone that doesn't want to discipline themselves, but they want the blessings of the discipline to get it. There's just no way that they're going to get it. If you're going to play football for the University of Nebraska, you've got to pump iron 5 hours a day. There's just no way you're not going to be on the team unless you pump iron 5 hours a day. What are you going to stand for? See, so you make up your mind. Yes? They just sat there. Yeah, I taught them. They just sat, and they could play cat and mouse. They could play sink the ship, and all that kind of game they could do, as long as they did it quiet.
Right.
Oh, now, okay. Now, in the Bible study, I wouldn't do that in the Bible study. I'm saying, that I'm using it as an illustration. Now, in the Bible study, I realize I can't do that. Oh, excuse me. I led you way out in the garden path. Sorry. Okay. See, though in the Bible study, what I do then, what I do in the Bible study, I would determine why I'm having the Bible study. See, why am I having the Bible study? Am I having the Bible study for a fellowship of warm-hearted things, so we're it's a country club thing? If it's a country club thing, fine. I was teaching in California. I was teaching school in California, teaching geometry, or typing over there, and the kids were on drugs in my class. So I went and told the principal. I said, I got kids on drugs. And I said, they're not doing much like they might. And the principal said, better in your class than in the street. And I said, fine. So I had them in my street, I'm in my class, and I had them on drugs in my class, and that was fine. The leadership said that's the way to do it. So that was fine with me. And I was hired to do it, and they paid money. I'd get paid for it. And we had a ball. Some of them were on drugs. They'd come in there and they're in woozy, woozy land, and that's fine. And see, but see, if I know that that's the program, I can do that. If I set my under the leadership of the as a fellowship, and they say, this is what we want to do, and I'm in that, and they say, that's what we want to do, and as I sign up for it, I better do it and do it wholeheartedly. So if that's what they want, that's what I give them. See, and it can't be any other way, I mean. See? Now, if in this I sense that there is that difference in maturity, I might say, okay, that we've got three groups going, and try to, you know. But generally, if you do it right, the maturity level is about the same. I mean, if we're as old spiritually, physically as we are spiritually, most of us would fall off our pews, someone said. See, I mean, we're there sometimes. See, so what we do is we start with this, and we make application, and they all come along. Now, if I do it graciously and kindly with them, that's the key. And I listen, and I need to let someone come along, and not, you know. Now here I'm nailing a little bit, but in there I wouldn't do that. See, I'd be kind of, you know, I'd be listening, and say, hey, fine, and whatever. See, and you'd be gracious and kind, and then if you do need to, then you pick off someone and have them to your home, and you help them. See. Now that discipleship video that they mentioned, that is a barn burner. One of the guys in that discipleship video says, it's hard for us to work with few enough people long enough. To work with few enough people long enough. See, I work with my children until they're 20. See, and I work with someone here, and I work with them 3 months or a year, and boy, they're teaching somebody else. And they may or may not have their character changed. They just learned how to do what I was. See, you people here now can lead a Bible study, but you may or may not have advocations to do what it says, you know, because you could do it. Okay, I don't know if I've helped you there at all. See, but you need, if you have the different varying, it's like you having your class, and I'm sitting at my table, and I have this daughter, that daughter, and that daughter, and they're, you know, and this daughter's answering the question for that one. See, I sat at the table, we were seven in our family, and my dad taught us at the table every day. You know, Maine, Augusta, on the Connecticut River. I knew the state and the tax capital and the river. You know, my dad taught us. See, and then he teaches us 12 times 12 is 144, times 12 is 1,728. He taught us. This is simple. I mean, you don't have to say it 50 times and you got it. See, so he taught us. And in our table, we just taught. See, but we were different levels. And I was the youngest. See, and I knew Lincoln was the 16th president, but the 15th, that was different. You follow me? But my sisters knew. You follow me? So, yeah, okay. Other question. Are you doing okay? Next year, I'm thinking, if they have this thing again, and if they ask me to come again, after all, it's here. I'm thinking about doing my workshop again on how to be changed into the image of Christ. Did anyone go to that last year or this year? Okay. I'm thinking about doing that one again, because that was kind of a, that was, you know, this is a tinkety-tink to what that was. You follow me? And see, you've applied that a little bit? Did you memorize some of those verses? Yes. Yes, I understand that. Did you work on it at all? Okay. Yeah. And that's okay. And I didn't mean it to do that to you.
Well, it's the church.
Yeah. Yeah. But if you do what it says, you will be changed into the image.
Okay.
Yeah. There's no question. And it's not a mechanical thing. See, I changed it to Jesus as I look to Jesus. And so I figure out, how do I get to look to Jesus? Because if I look to him, 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, I'm changing to his image. So the key for me is to find out how I can look to him. And that's what we did there. We'll give thanks, and then if anyone wants to stop after. If I have offended somebody here, I'd like to have you stay, and I'd like to make it right. Now, that's a hot, tough thing for you. Because I do that. I get going and throw snowballs in the air, and, you know, and then someone sits over there and they say, my dear wife, you know, she's lived with me for 45 years, you know, and it's just a different deal. She helps me, but I still just learn how to not do that. So we'll pray, and someone, I'll ask forgiveness and work it right and get it right. Okay, we'll pray. Father, we thank you for your love to us. We thank you for the privilege of learning to share with people your love and kindness. And Lord, you said to Peter, feed my sheep. And we want to do that. And Lord, as Charlie Riggs has made this study out, it's so terrific. And we can do that. And in these verses, we can memorize them if we want. And we can go over them with people and help people. We can help them just for a few minutes, you know, and we can use this thing for our own quiet time. It's so good. And, you know, in our groups, in our fellowships, in our churches, and Bible studies, and on the campuses, everywhere, people just want to sit down in the chair. And we can do that. And I thank you for each of these fellows that took time right here to go through this and go through the studies and submit to this and have fellowship. And you spoke to us even as we did it. And we thank you for that. And Lord, we pray for each family represented here, that in our lives they might see Jesus high and lifted up. They might see in our lives that we're becoming more like him. And somehow, as we obey, we know you better, and we have a better understanding of who you are and what you want us to do. And we thank you that you've made it very simple. We obey you, and you reveal yourself to us. We obey you, and don't walk in deception. We love you. And we thank you. Thank you for these people. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much. If somebody wants to want another one of these books, if you want to meet with somebody and go over it, you can have one. If you want to take another one, meet with somebody and try it out.
This is great. This is very practical. Are you going to spend 2 months?
I don't know. Would you want the 7 months of teaching again?
This is
great.
Let me ask you, how can I get a copy of
one?